On an absolutely packed episode of Locked On Cubs, the Cubs add another power bat late Saturday night. We talk about the Cubs convention. What did Tom and what did Jed have to say? It's going to be busy here. Come on in and happy Monday.
Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the week and welcome to Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a packed Monday edition of the show. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into discussion with you on all things Cubs. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online. Where the game starts. We have four amazing episodes planned for you this week. And the first one here on a Monday is absolutely loaded. And I anticipate that most of this week will be filled with Cubs news, reaction, and a whole lot more. So a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement, Sam, over the weekend in the great city of Chicago, number three market in the country at the Sheraton Grand. They're in Chicago at the Cubs convention, and we're going to brush up on the news and notes of the last couple days. But the breaking news as of Saturday night is the Cubs have made another addition to their ball club, signing Trey Mancini to a two-year deal with an opt-out after the first. Bruce Levine of 670 The Score reported the AAV is 7 M's, which leaves the Cubs with about 13 M's until the CBT, which we'll get to later in the show and throughout the week. But Mancini, as a first baseman, as a DH, as a very, very occasional corner outfielder, does help improve this team, I think, and we'll get into it trying to break this all down.
Yeah, the news broke when you're welcome to all our listeners. When I told you the Jags Chargers was just going to be an absolute thriller,
I'm glad we all watched that.
The news broke, so I wasn't really by my phone, and then I saw just a bunch of tweets and a bunch of texts and Instagram messages and stuff. It was cool. What do I think about this? Look, the easy thing to do is to come on here and beat the table and say, you know, I wish it was – I'm happy that it's Mancini. I wish it wasn't Hosmer, and then Mervis and Mancini can platoon. I'm not going to go that route because that's the route everybody's going. I'm just going to go the route and say I'm glad the Cubs added another bat because they do need another power bat, especially from the right side. And I'm glad that – even though I'm not exactly sure what it is, there's an obvious plan of attack here from Jed Hoyer for 2023. Because we've beat the drum a lot. Do they really want to win in 2023? If not, why didn't they approach Correa? Well, we'll get into this a little bit later, but Jed Hoyer actually did say he called Correa. Now, I don't know what that means, but at least he just didn't say, well, we know we can't go after him now because our budget's done, you know? As far as Mancini goes, you know, he helps the team. They have a lot of guys that are just kind of really high floor guys. Mm-hmm. But I always say when you're building a major league team in 2023, one of the keys to your team is you can't have black holes. You can't have liabilities. You have to pretty much feel good when at least like 8 of the 9 guys come to the plate, even if they're not Goldschmidt or Arenado or MVP candidates like the Cardinals have. And the Cubs, outside of the catching position, which is just for defense, are going to have somebody that at least can really do damage almost every time they're at the plate. So, you know, I'm excited about it, I think. I think that's my initial reaction. I mean, we're going to talk about fit probably a little bit more later on when we do our opening day show later in the week that I'm sure you're going to have some beautiful graphic for. You're like Michelangelo. but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it more than me, because that's, you know, look, do I want Matt Mervis out there opening day? Yes. Will I be surprised if he's not? It's trending less and less in that direction that I won't be as surprised. But at the end of the day, you know, I think if, let's say, Hosmer gets off to a bad start, Mervis gets off to a good start, he'll be right up, you know. And so the Cubs are improving their team. I would start – I think they're starting a trend, Matt. If I had to describe the Cubs in one word, mm-hmm. it's starting a trend towards – and I saw this on Twitter yesterday. They're dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely a formidable team that has made a ton of additions now. I mean, there's no other way to put it, and they're vastly better than last year.
And they had to.
You know, and maybe I put up a graphic of last year's opening day lineup to this year's, because, folks, it's not even comparable.
Get to work, Van Gogh.
It's so much better. And I will take your point about Mervis right here, and then I'll do more Mancini stuff. At this point, my position as a big Matt Mervis fan, I mean, we just had the guy on the show days ago, hours ago, basically. But at this stage in the process, and me reading between the lines, reading what actually people say, reading different pieces that are being reported, I will be surprised if Matt Mervis is on the opening day roster. And Sahadev Sharma put out a piece late Saturday night that, quite frankly, we could do a whole episode just on that.
Great reporter.
That indicated the Cubs have a really interesting plan potentially. And that is to play, it's what I'm calling, okay, so I'm interpreting his report and I'm bringing it to our brand. And I'm calling it the everyone plays every day plan. Because now with Hosmer and Mancini and Wisdom and probably a McKinstry or Mastrobioni, how much time is there for Mervis, Morel, Velasquez, and Madrigal? And Sahadev Sharma reported that all four of those dudes are actually likely going to open the season in the starting lineup at AAA Iowa. And so those four players, you can make a strong case, need to play every day, are going to play every day. And so when there is a need because of injury or someone is bad, those guys haven't played once or twice a week. They've played every single day.
Right.
And so that is super interesting. I think we could even get into that a little more. But I think that's the way it's trending. Mancini is a great story if you're into that sort of thing. Comeback player of the year in 2021 following recovery from colon cancer. The Cubs get another great clubhouse presence, you know, separate from that, another high character person. He had a very up and down 2022. He was great with the Orioles and bad with the Astros. Started really strong with the O's, really struggled after that trade, finished with 18 home runs. You'd like to think that at Wrigley, over a full-time season with a new team here with the Cubs, it could be a 20-plus homer potential. Are we talking big bat? Maybe this day and age we are. I mean, 20-plus home runs is really good. Mancini's best year came in 19, although with a lot of players on their baseball cards, 2019 is
right.
A huge year for everybody because of the ball. But over the course of his career, Sam, listen to these splits against righties and lefties. Mm-hmm. And I would challenge somebody to find a more remarkable even split. Against righties, 265, 330, 456. Lefties, 266, 331, 459. Yeah. So he's hit well against both types of pitching. I am excited to see him, just as all fans seemingly, or most fans are. I think our desperation for another bat just in general has inflated everybody's excitement, but it's a proven major league player that could help right away on March 30th.
Yeah, I don't think the splits thing's necessarily good because he's mostly going to get at bats versus lefties would be my guess. But maybe if Mervis doesn't make the team, then maybe he DHs. So maybe he gets more at bats against righties. Yeah, I mean, when you look at his numbers, which I have in front of me right now, you know, he was fine with the Orioles last year. I wouldn't say he was great. I think he finished with like a
well, seven, he started okay. off red hot.
Yeah, he started off red hot. You know, it's before he got sick, he was a really dynamite power hitter.
He really was.
And I don't know, like, you know, I think it's just incredible for him that he's out there.
Yeah.
You know, considering that's about as, you know, serious as it gets, especially at that age. I think he was 27 when he got mm-hmm. sick. But, you know, it could take some time. Who knows? And I agree with you on the Wrigley thing. If he doesn't do anything, he will hit home runs here.
Yes.
He will hit home runs. I think I saw a stat. I don't want to quote it because I don't have it. I don't remember it, but I think it was Bleacher Nation. It was Trey Mancini would have hit 28 home runs at Wrigley Field last year. You got to remember, Baltimore last year was the most difficult place for a right-handed pull guy to hit home runs because they moved their fence back. And home, I mean, it was a nightmare. I remember when the Cubs played there, there were a couple balls that I thought were no doubters that were like 405 foot outs in the left center field.
Yeah, that's brutal.
You know, now he's going to a much shorter gap at Wrigley. So yeah, I look, you know, we have a lot to get to today. We could talk about this more in detail another time. I like it because you're trying, right? You're trying. And that's what I ask. And I'm telling you, it's a dangerous team, guys. Is it a team that's going to win 90, 95 games? Most likely not. Is it a team that I don't want to see if I'm going against them? If I'm the Cardinals or Brewers right now and I'm in that front office, am I saying, this Cubs team's going to be interesting? We're going to have to watch out for those guys. And by the way, the terms of the deal, what was it, 2 years, 14?
Yeah, if it plays out for years, yeah.
That's a pretty good value right there because he might there's a chance he hits 25, 30 home runs.
Yes.
There's a chance. So
it's a value buy potentially.
Yeah.
So on the scroll for the viewers, and shout out to the audio peeps, the Cubs, seven new players, almost a lineup in itself. Swanson, Tyone, Bellinger, Barnhart, Boxberger, Hosmer, and Mancini. Plus you brought back Drew Smyly. So in free agency, the Cubs have attacked some clear needs. We'll see perhaps what they have remaining up their sleeve.
It's exciting.
Cubs convention this weekend. We're going to dip our toe into that as we have so much to go over, including potentially some position versatility, some Kyle Hendricks updates, and a whole lot more from Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, they've got it all at BetOnline.net. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. We start this segment with some Jed Hoyer conversation, as him, Carter Hawkins, Tom Ricketts, David Ross, so many sound bites, so much, maybe for me, from a fan and now a host perspective, almost too much, but I can't get enough of it right now. I'm really excited about this team and the start of the baseball season, Sam. But where should we start with Jed Hoyer? I think in terms of a baseball perspective, he certainly did make some news, especially with a certain position player.
Well, let's talk about the two big things that came out this weekend before Mancini. One was Mark Leiter Jr. being DFA.
Yeah.
The second is what Jed Hoyer had to say about Nick Madrigal. And then you covered this beautifully. You can let me know what I leave out. I'll just briefly say I was shocked by the news. that Mark Leiter Jr. got DFA'd to make room for Eric Hosmer. It's a tough week for me, Matt. I did a 10-minute segment on Mark Leiter Jr. that I prepared for well, studied well, thought it was pretty well thought out and good, and 3-4 days later, he's not on the ball club anymore.
It was good. And it was
Well, it's not good if he's not on the team anymore. It makes my credibility look like I've never watched a game. But listen, that's what happens. Things happen on the show. Going to be wrong.
It is a surprise, though.
A huge surprise, and here's my take on it, because I'll be brief. I am going to defer to Jed Hoyer when it comes to bullpen decisions. He has proven since he has been here and since he has been president of baseball ops that he is, I would almost say, a master at building, getting a lot out of a little when it comes out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Remember our initial take? We were like, oh no, Scott Efros got traded. And now that trade's looking delicious.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, Givens, Robertson, the last year of Kimbrel, Tapera, Hughes, Leiter, Thompson. It seems like he really understands how a bullpen works and the volatility of it. So maybe there was something he saw. For what I saw a pitcher that had a chance to get better. And for me, Matt, I don't know about you, it was more the guys that are on the roster still and that Leiter's not that was troubling to me. But Jed Hoyer is much smarter than me, and he has earned – like, I'm a big credibility guy. I mentioned it a lot on the show. I think he's earned the right to get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the bullpen. So we'll see if it plays out. If they blow 3-4 games the first 2 weeks of the season, I'm not going to be happy. And then the second thing was Madrigal taking reps at third, which is kind of contradictory to what Sahadev's speech or piece, because, well, maybe he's taking reps at third, but maybe it'll be in AAA. I personally don't see him being in the mix to be a starting third baseman for this team with the approach they're taking to the 2023 season. What do you think?
I think Patrick Wisdom is now, to me, clearly in the lead spot.
Yeah.
And McKinstry, I think there's a chance that there's kind of a platoon-ish situation. I also think he could be traded between now and opening day. And then maybe you have some depth with acquisition from the Rays and Mastrobioni. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, Mastrobioni. And they got some minor league pitcher with an Italian last name, too.
Yeah, I'm happy about that.
Something with a beef. Sounds like an Abuca de Pepo.
Yeah, no, let's bring more Italians in. Let's keep that going. But, I think that Madrigal playing third base is, from my baseball sense, a little laughable, honestly. he throws 75. I don't know how that translates at an elite level in major leagues, at third base. You know, he's not elite at second base and he's not throwing hard. And so what is that even going to look like? I don't know. Even the routine play, third base, correct me if I'm wrong, is a position that is budgeted for offensive production as well, which Madrigal does none of.
Little power.
And especially power, which literally he does zero of. Literally. Maybe one or two home runs. And so I think that's a joke, and I'm not going to really take it seriously. Unless it's more of a, okay, we think this person should play second at Iowa instead. We're going to put him at short and third or something. But I think he ends up at second at AAA or as a bench piece with the Cubs or in a trade still. And if I look at past performance, 2022 stats, plus the 2023 projection, I don't understand how Michael Rucker and Manny Rodriguez, especially the latter, is kept over Mark Leiter
Jr.
Don't get it. The Cubs now have a week to possibly work out a deal with another team. Maybe you swap for another bench piece or something like that. But if we're looking at the 40 man, which we have to keep doing because Mancini has to be made official. There might be other moves in the bullpen. people are going to continue to get cut from the 40 man. And I just didn't think it was the time to do that with Leiter. From my perspective, I would have him higher on the depth chart and some other guys in the mix to be cut first.
Yeah. I think I agree with most of what you said. I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm starting to get really tired of the third base conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, look, well, I agree with you. My guess, gun to my head, I say wisdom opening day with McKinstry as the lefty platoon guy. That's the position.
Right.
Especially after Sahada's speech. But, boy, there's those two. There's Morrell. There's now Madrigal. There's Ron Santo. There's Aramis. There's Chris Bryant. There's Ian Stewart.
Mark DeRosa.
How many third basemen does this team need? Find a guy already.
And we got a few other updates over the weekend as well. Kyle Hendricks started his throwing program December 1st. Feels healthy, but likely target to pitch in a major league game will be after opening day. Jed Hoyer said he's glad to have expectations of winning back. Said you need stars to emerge. When you do really well, you need some players who have the best seasons of their career. And to piggyback off the Leiter conversation, Sam, the other tidbit that I got from Hoyer this weekend was that he said he's not sure they're going to have a conventional bullpen.
That's great news.
So, you know, I thought that was super interesting. That was more of the newsy part as well.
It's not interesting. It's great news.
Yeah. Why is it great?
Because for this team to be successful pitching wise, they have to be very creative with the way they use their bullpen. I've been saying it for 5-6 months. Keegan Thompson, Alzolay, you know, they have to be creative. They're going to be trying new things this year. Piggybacking guys, having guys go all the way. And that's great news. That's what I want to see them do this year. And not only do I think it's really good for experimentation, but it also is the thing that's going to help them win the most games.
And on 670, The Score on Friday night at the convention, Danny Parkins asked Hoyer about Carlos Correa and said, did you ever get to a point where you considered re-engaging? To which Hoyer responded, quote, did I reach out and make the phone call? Yes. I wouldn't discuss what we talked about. Close quote. Does this illustrate an effort in your mind that Hoyer was back in the Correa mix?
Not really. But if you combine that with the Mancini signing, and I know a lot of people have asked about Bauer, which we'll get to later in the week in the mailbag. But I think if you combine the Mancini signing and that quote with Correa, I'm feeling much better going to sleep at night about 2023 and their efforts. I know people, like I said, are going to come on and comment about that. We'll address that later in the week. We probably got a lot of questions to get to. We haven't done a mailbag in a while.
Right.
So that'll be part of it. But yeah, you know, to answer your question, Matt, I don't think so. Do you?
In terms of
it doesn't him saying that we called and I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to sit here and say, great job, Jed. You were in on Correa again.
No, it's not to that level.
No, but it's not nothing.
Yeah. I like the information. I mean, it's better than none, but yeah, I don't necessarily think they might not have been in the mix anyway this late. But yeah, it doesn't really move the needle.
I want to just say really quick before we get into the last part. I know it's long. I want to say too, when we come on here, we just give opinions on things. Like, I don't know how a front office works. So like maybe Jed Hoyer would come on the show and be like, Sam, you were on me for Carlos Correa. You don't understand. Like, it was so far along with the Twins. We really had no chance. Like, I don't know how it works. All I ask is that you're transparent. And you're doing your best to make an effort to win baseball games in 2023. And that Mancini signing, even though I'm not, you know, I'm not running around my new place, going crazy because we got Mancini. It's still and then you take Sahadev's piece. At least it feels like they have a plan big leagues, AAA. Yes. They have a plan here.
They do.
And so, you know, I'm gonna give them that credit for right now.
They have a plan. The convention definitely made me a little more excited for that. So let's get into this Tom Ricketts and preview the rest of the week for us here on the show coming up next. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you have to try a Built Bar. Covered in 100% real chocolate, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. There's unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. And as always, you can get Built Bars by ordering at Built.com, but now you can get them as well at your local Walmart and Sam's Club. Pick up a 4-bar box at either Walmart or Sam's Club, cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. So if you're close to a Walmart or a Sam's Club, run in and get one of your favorite flavors and thank us later. That's Built Bar. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. We are going to close out the program today, getting into some Tom Ricketts and what he said on over the weekend at the Cubs convention. You know, the main things that I have in front of me in my own notes is just him acknowledging their spending. And a lot of it, you know, I know we did the bit last week to end.
And you should have received an Emmy nomination.
Thank you. Thank you. And if we put both tapes together, like side by side, it's similar.
Of course it is.
Okay, that's a credit us, but he talked about intelligent spending and how when Jed is ready, the resources are going to be there. Yeah. And he explained where the resources come from, including the stuff around Wrigley, which is actually pretty hilarious if you want to look at it like that.
Well, there's a Starbucks.
They're going to be close to the luxury tax threshold, okay, the competitive balance tax, CBT. There were some questions in the crowd about the new sports book and how that will help team revenue, which will then help team spending. But my biggest thing from Ricketts, Sam, and in terms of the baseball, was he feels that the best path to the playoffs is through the NL Central Division title. And so to me, that does raise a brow because the NL Central or the NL is loaded and the Cardinals and Brewers don't look that imposing. That's true. And that's what the owner is saying. And he was talking about getting off to a good start, staying in contention and looking to add in July to keep pushing and then ultimately looking forward to getting back to the postseason. So
yeah,
I agree with his frame of mind there.
I agree with it, but I also don't like the owner of my team basically ruling out a wild card because other teams are better than us. Small market thinking again. All right. Hey, this is where we can get a little bit of an advantage because the Cardinals may only win 88 games. And if we win 89, intelligent Gallagher way, Starbucks. Yeah. I don't know if I hear the phrase intelligent spending one more time, you know, do we assume
what are you going to do? Leave?
Do we assume that all other spending is not intelligent?
Good question. I'm going to pass on that today.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we're going to do, I'll let you do the teases, but we're going to do a special show for Tuesday about the Sandberg Sosa thing because we just don't have the time to fit it in today. And that should be its own episode. So that was a big part of Ricketts' afternoon as well. But yeah, from what he said, I don't know. I mean, I would just label it, like you said, very expected. Said what he was supposed to say. I believe he was received with a few boo birds.
A little smattering.
Yeah, smattering of boo birds. And
there was marquee questions again. There was, you know, other questions.
I just want the owner of the team to come out and be like, our goal is to win. Not our goal is to sneak in the division because that's where there's an opening and other stuff. But it's overanalyzing it at the end of the day. They've done their job this offseason. I had them at a C on Friday. The Mancini thing probably takes it up to like a C+ for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good enough. It's a passing grade. And And let's see what happens now. That they're experimenting a lot of new things. And so we're going to learn a lot. We'll learn a lot early. I do agree with Ricketts, though. The start's going to be crucial. Crucial.
All right. So working our way back in the week to front, we're going to do four shows this week. We're going to have a mailbag that's going to have a lot of questions, including possible additions. We're going to get into some NL Central odds. We're going to unveil a new opening day lineup. And then we're going to get into some statue conversation and pair that with Sammy Sosa, because Sosa was the second question in the Ricketts panel. His name was shouted several other times during the weekend. And so we've decided we're going to do an episode on that this week as well. So Sandberg Sosa fallout lineup, NL Central odds, mailbag, including Bauer convo. All that's coming up this week.
And
be sure to,
I'm sorry. I know we're going long. And I just want to do a little preview for tomorrow. We're a couple statues away from having a starting nine. You know what I mean? I mean the Bulls don't even have a statue of Scottie Pippen. and we're running out statues of everybody. I mean, hey, listen, Derek Lee might get a statue.
Oh, come on.
It's just a lot. I mean, we've won one. None of these guys ever won a World Series. It's a lot of statues for me. No disrespect.
And in opening day 2026, they're going to have the 2016 statue still, right?
Well, and they should.
So that comes to now of six statues, five players plus Harry Carey.
Six statues. You'd think they've won 10 championships in the last 25 years.
Oh, be sure to hit that subscribe button for Locked On Cubs on YouTube and smash the like button. Smash the heck out of that thing. Let's get that to triple digits every episode. Shout out to the Apple listeners, Spotify, Google, Odyssey, wherever you listen to pods. And the number to ask us those questions this week is 312-834-4634. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second Locked On MLB Prospects, where host Lindsey Crosby, one of our favorites, is a prospect encyclopedia and is going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. Locked On MLB Prospects, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is over for now. We'll be back on Tuesday with much more. He's Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. And this is Locked On Cubs.